Dostoevsky. This isn't a straightforward plot, but there is a lot to be taken from the exhilarating music. It's a production that was staged for the first time in living memory at the Vienna State Opera recently. Simone Young conducting and some wonderfully stringent voices in the cast, not least Misha Didick singing the all-important role of Alexei and Linda Watson as Babulienka. So, there is no violence in this sorry tale. Nobody dies. There is unrequited love. But essentially, its purpose is to shine a light on some deeply unattractive human conditions. Addiction, our seeming wish to humiliate each other, and out-and-out greed. But that said, it isn't without its comic moments, as its setting in the fictional town of Roulettenberg might hint at. The whole thing is more conversational, really, than operatic. It's realist opera, so no big set pieces, no big tunes, and most of the time the psychological commentary is left up to the orchestra, with Prokofiev writing the most modern music that he could muster at this time in 1916. The rhythm is very much the thing. It starts in bar one and it just keeps on motoring through, littering the score with inspired ideas along the way, such as how he conjures up the onomatopoeic sound of the roulette wheel. So the story of The Gambler centres around a rather pompous general, his rich ageing aunt, Babulienka, and his stepdaughter, Paulina. Her tutor is Alexei, and in this first act, Alexei has gambled away some money that he made from pawning some of Paulina's jewellery, which she asked him to do. She needed it to pay off a rather shady character called the Marquis, who is lending people money with extortionate terms and conditions attached. Meanwhile, the general is coldly speculating that his aunt, Babulienka, will die soon, and then he'll be able to collect his inheritance, with which he's going to win the heart of a young gold digger that he's recently fallen for, called Blanche. But the unrequited love story that weaves this tale together is between Alexei and Paulina, and the act ends with her asking him to prove his love by going and overtly flirting with a wife of a German baron. So in this production from the Vienna State Opera, the general is sung by bass Dmitry Ulyanov. Paulina is soprano, Elena Gusieva. The tenor Misha Didick is Alexei. The Marquis is sung by tenor Thomas Epstein. Blanche is mezzo-soprano Elena Maximova. And Mr. Astley, who is a mysterious Englishman who hangs about in the casino, is sung by baritone Morten Frank Larsen. And this production, staged at the Vienna State Opera, conducted by Simone Young. So here is Act One of The Gambler by Prokofiev.
Oh, совсем плоха. Много-много, если Бог подарит ей несколько деньков.
Генерал, ведь это
не может быть!
Такой румяный цвет лица!
Я большой, как редок, от вас такой прелестный
комплимент! Пошлёте опять телеграмму! Может, ускользала
твоя разумна изволили сказать!
Вышла пять или шесть, удачи куда нас ряду.
Ну,
вот вам 6000, а потом за удары неудачные. И снова ничего, надо быть благоразумной.
Или пеград на рулетке.
Послушная семейство, подключаясь, рядовиком цветы, все работают, как валы. И копят деньги, хуторы, хуторы, хуторы.
Так,
мой секрет, где-то приданого не надо. А деньги приобщили капиталу.
Но уже
да, я проверил. Наконец, столько так гордых скопил. Сорокалетнему старшему сыну можно жениться. Вот благословляет, при этом плачет мальчика. И так далее, и жили шесть поколений. Солидная фирма, кафе и компания. Нет, это уж слишком проблем моей татарской породы.
Татарской цесарь.
Не знаю, сколь правы, но знаю, наверно, что вы нестерпимо начинаете форсить, лишь только Галину позволишь вам забыться.
Пошлёмте телеграмму, пошлёмте телеграмму.
Чтоб поскорей пошлите.
Oh,
спасет бабушки, что конечнее их изделит. Слава телеграммой, телеграмму, умерла ли, умерла ли.
Не знаю, что на свете. Встаньте, милый мой, вот тысячный билет. Пойдите, разменяйте в кассе. Но что-то не платите. Я вас угощу, подпишемте бумажку.
So, with the Baron duly outraged by Alexei's flirting with his wife, Act One of Prokofiev's The Gambler comes to a close. The Baron, sung by Marcus Peltz, and as a result of Alexei's actions, in the next act, he finds himself fired from his position as tutor to the general, which sends him into a rage so great he wants to challenge the general to a duel. And Mr. Astley, this mysterious Englishman who's lurking about, persuades Alexei, sung in this production by Misha Didik, that this is actually a bad idea. And Alexei later gets a patronising letter also from Paulina, delivered by the infuriating and seedy Marquis, telling him to stop acting like a schoolboy. Meanwhile, Blanche has recognised the Baron as someone she flirted with recently and tried to borrow money from, so she's busy hoping that he won't recognise her. And then after Alexei's laid into the Marquis, calling him a usurer and a parasite, the general then steps up to predict again that very soon the grande dame, Babulienka, will be dead and he will get his inheritance. But what actually happens in this second act is that Babulienka, sung by Linda Watson, suddenly appears, stealing the whole show and announcing that actually she'd far rather gamble her fortune away than bequeath it to any of the assembled motley crew.
Сударь, что ты наделали?
Вы, вероятно, хотите говорить о моей встрече с одним немцем.
С одним немцем. Этот немец барон Фурберген. Важное лицо. Вы наделали мой баронессе грубости и испугали их, сударь.
Нисколько.
Вы устроили ужаснейший скандал.
Да совсем же нет. Мне еще вернее запало ухо. Это отвратительное пьяволь. Когда я встретился с ними в аллее, мне вдруг это я понял. Не знаю, почему причина память. Я повторил его несколько раз.
Вы смеете, что ли, надо мной? Маркиз, он решительно желает напроситься на историю.
Ага! Ничуть не бывало. Мой поступок, конечно, не хорош. Он даже глуп, даже не приличен. Но я так раздражителен, я так фантастичен. Право, и несколько раз хотелось вдруг обойтись на глазу.
А впрочем, это ему, может, будет обидно.
Одним словом, это признаки болезни.
Я не знаю, привет ли это во внимание, баронесса.
Довольно.
Извиняться перед бароном.
слова, что немедленно сегодня же вы не будете в моем доме. Прощайте. Кроме хлопот и неприятности, я не видал от вас ничего. Честь имею прибыть вашим покорным слугой.
Согласитесь, Алексей Иванович, я должен здесь держать себя особенным образом. Совершенно особенным образом.
Не беспокойтесь,
Алексей Иванович,
все пройдет,
тебя младенцем помню.
Все будет прилично и благовоспитанно.
Маркиз, маркиз, как же быть? Ведь он и вправду надел глупости. И получится ужаснейший скандал, скандал. Ведь такой скандал Иван не хочет.
Для того, чтобы быть вам приятным, я постараюсь повлиять. Ne General Prislal, men ya prasit vas astavit vashin amerelya. Vsyo eto konechno astraumno. No oni mena prasil peredats vas.
Говорите прямо, генерал, послал вас срок за тем, что вы выпытать, как я привозка дело.
О, Боже! Ведь если генерал не заинтересован, то это так естественно. Вы забиваетесь, о, это, конечно, нарушно, чтобы насолить генералу. Но ради того,
я был выгнан.
Вы были выгнаны.
Да, был выгнан и в вашем присутствии.
Хорошо, прекрасно, прекрасно, если так. Прекрасно, если так, если никакие просьбы не имеют на вас влияния. Прекрасно, отлично, если так, не держите влияния, то будут приняты меры, но все знакомства вас вернете сегодня же. Oh! выгнать лакею.
Да ведь я не сам пойду к мистеру Астре, за меня пойдет помалу, и барлак его примет. Мистер Астре, племянник лорда, настоящего лорда, это известно всем. Кстати, жилок этот здесь. Пусть попробует не принять.
Как точно приятно, что выйдет история. Я вам сказал, что все это правда. Может, даже остроумно. Но одним словом я пришел, чтоб передать два слова от одной особы. Прочтите и дайте ответ.
Полина! Мы рассыпились и начали школьничать. Перестаньте! Прошу вас, если надо, то приказываю.
Даже губы побледнели.
Хорошо, скажите, что вы, мадемуазель, было спокойно. Однако, вместо того, чтоб полтая пустыня, и казалось, должны были начаться.
Не знаю, что за песня.
Понимаю, вы выкрасляю свисту, но вам просто напросто верно. Видать, ее лишь край
сочтемся,
маркизишка, ростовщишка. Но какую власть он имеет над Полиной, которая послушно строчила по приказу записку для меня.
Я как раз ищу генерала, где же он?
Генерал, скорее, генерал!
Дорогой маркиз, друг и мой кончичек!
Я все время работаю для вас!
Ну что, ломали этого повеса?
Ха-ха!
Неужели?
Генерал, маркиз, нужник, ломок, я говорю!
Я так, что мой
генерал, я право
так вас.
Утро меня расщепило по пальцам, а, друзья, сегодня мы получим телеграмму.
Здравствуй, Проскурь! Thank you.
Well, at the end of that second act of The Gambler by Prokofiev, Babulienka asked Alexei to help her at the gambling table, which possibly wasn't a great idea, as in Act 3 she now ends up losing most of her vast fortune. This, of course, sends the general into spirals of despair. He even collapses at one point, as his plan to get her money and marry Blanche is rapidly disappearing before his eyes. And in fact, the wily Blanche has already switched allegiance and she's now busy chatting up her next victim, the rich Prince Nilsky, sung in this Vienna State Opera production by Pavel Kolgatin. Alexei starts to despair of the entire family that he seems to have got tangled up with, but he does realise that the only thing really tying him to them is his love for Paulina. But here we are at the start of Act 3. We're in an anteroom of the casino with the general, sung by Dmitry Ulyanov, increasingly beside himself as Grandma Babulienka gambles her fortune away.
Ah, che tonalità scandalosa! faccia.
Un bacio troppo io pago l'età.
Не сердись и надейся. Откажитесь от нее, бросьте ей помогать.
Там другой найдется.
Там совсем не то, совсем не то.
Проиграть слишком много.
Вот если вы
без слез, без надежды, без расчета. И не забочусь о том. Если не болит, я смотрел бы на эту комедию. Но Полина, Полина, мне б только быть при ней, я
сердце, и велено пускать,
да ты сошел с ума.
И как? Не вели нас.
Как ты смеешь?
Не вели нас. И как не вели нас.
Накануне нашей свадьбы под ручку с этим князем вина меня не смотри, вина меня кричи. Такой нежнейший ротик и вдруг таки thank you.
So, Grandma Babulyanka decided to cut her losses. She's headed back to Moscow, and that has left the general, sung there by the bass, Dmitry Ulyanov, in a complete state. The end of Act 3 of The Gambler by Sergei Prokofiev, which we're hearing in a production staged recently at the Vienna State Opera. So with Babulyanka gone, sung in this production by Linda Watson, the Marquis orders the sale of the general's property and writes a humiliating, almost blackmailing letter to Paulina, which she chooses to share with Alexei. And he's so flattered that she's turned to him. He runs from the room like a madman, saying he's going to raise the money that she needs at the gambling table. This time, his luck's in. He bets only on red, and it comes up time and time again. So he then gives all his winnings to Paulina, but as he hands it over, she feels like he's trying to buy her love. So she takes his money, and she throws it all back in his face. The final act of The Gambler by Prokofiev.
Запрещая мне потерял почти все мои деньги. Долга генерала я должен был дать на Петербург, чтоб немедленно распорядились продажей заложенного мне имущества. Но, конечно,
знаю, однако же, что растратил и ваши деньги. Я прощаю его 50 тысяч франков, и вы теперь поставили возможность возвратить все, что потеряли. Надеюсь, что этим я исполню долг человека честно и благородно. Подлец! 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 Подлец!
Thank you.
Я тоже для него.
Ich schaue, 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 ich schaue Oh! Thank you. выиграл. Вот это, это 60 богини одного стола. Вот еще 60 рукой закрылся. Ха! Печален ритурок после нашествия татарской породы. Хотите, я отвезу их сам завтра утром. Так!
Thank you.
And so the sorry tale ends. Alexei, rejected by Paulina, alone in the casino, left obsessively, dementedly even, recalling how he won at the gambling table 22 times in a row, and yet he didn't win in love. The final scene of The Gambler, written in 1916 by Sergei Prokofiev. It was never staged in Russia due to the timing of the revolution, and it eventually had its world premiere in Brussels in 1921. And that was a new production staged at the Vienna State Opera in in October this year. The cast in the role of the general was bass Dmitry Ulyanov. Paulina was sung by the soprano Elena Gusieva. The tenor, Misha Didik, was Alexei. Babulienka was mezzo-soprano Linda Watson. The tenor, Thomas Epstein, was the Marquis. Blanche was sung by mezzo Elena Maximova. Baritone Morten Frank Larsen sang the role of Mr. Astley. Prince Nilsky was Pavel Kolgatin. Baron Wummerhelm was Marcus Peltz. Clemens Unterreiner sang the role of Potapitch. And Alexandru Moziuk was the casino director. And then there was a large cast of subsidiary characters making up this production from Vienna State Opera, all conducted by Simone Young. Well, the next chance to hear a full-blown opera on Radio 3 is on Saturday, when Opera on 3 will be a performance of The Maid of Orleans by Tchaikovsky, the mezzo Ksenia Dudnikova in the title role as Joan of Arc. So that is at 6 o'clock this coming Saturday. This is BBC Radio 3. It's just gone 10 past four. We're currently exploring 100 years of Russian music and art in our Breaking Free season. And having enjoyed hearing that opera by Prokofiev, let's just stick with him and hear the Fifth Symphony that he wrote some 30 years later, when the Second World War was raging on. So this is one to rival the same number by Shostakovich, which we heard earlier in the week, and a piece alongside which Prokofiev also had to issue one of those position papers that were expected by Soviet officials. And it read, "I conceived the Fifth as a symphony of greatness, of human spirit, a song of praise of free and happy mankind." But of course, you can actually hear this symphony in a number of ways. There is optimism, but introspection too, so it remains ambiguous. The Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted here by Nicholas Colon.
Thank you. Thank you.
The incredible Fifth Symphony by Prokofiev, the one that went down so well in America. It got him onto the cover of Time magazine in November 1945, and it was played there by the Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Nicholas Colon. Well, in our final afternoon concert of the week, tomorrow we're going to be hearing the 10th Symphony by Shostakovich and the violin concerto by his teacher Glazunov on what will be the penultimate day of Radio 3's Breaking Free season, marking the centenary of the Russian Revolution. Pavel Kolesnikov with September from the Seasons by Tchaikovsky. More details of Radio 3's Breaking Free season, A Century of Russian Culture, are on the Radio 3 website. And do join me, Verity Sharp, for afternoon concerts at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Every year, Radio 3 picks a handful of the brightest young musicians and helps them kickstart their careers. These new generation artists are given opportunities to make recordings, work with orchestras, and collaborate with one another. A group of them perform a concert of chamber music by composers including Chopin, Brahms and Schumann at the Bath Mozart Fest. BBC Radio 3 New Generation Artists in Concert. Next Tuesday evening at 7:30 and then on the Radio 3 website.
So Shostakovich and Glazunov tomorrow, but also Mahler and Sibelius. I hope you can join me then. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital and online. It is 5 o'clock, time for In Tune with Sean Rafferty.
And a very good afternoon to you. Well, weaving magic musical carpets for us today, Carminha, the Toast of Portugal, and Fado, singer supreme. The brilliant brothers, Paul and Hugh Watkins, and Adrian Chandler of La Serenissima, all after the BBC News with Alan Smith.
The head of the Old Vic has issued an apology to all those who claim to have been victims of the theatre's former artistic director, Kevin Spacey. Kate Vara said it wasn't enough to have the right process in place and that it was important that staff felt they could speak out. 20 people say they were subjected to inappropriate behaviour from Kevin Spacey when he worked at the theatre in South London. The Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe is in talks with regional envoys following yesterday's military takeover. Mr. Mugabe, who's under house arrest, is said to be refusing to step down. His long-time rival, the opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai, has urged him to resign immediately. Police investigating the Grenfell Tower fire in West London say they now know that 71 people lost their lives. 223 people managed to escape. It's taken months of specialist training to searching to find the remains of everyone who died. The site is expected to remain a crime scene until the spring. Detectives in Dorset investigating the disappearance of 19-year-old Gaia Pope have arrested a third person, a 49-year-old man in Swanage. Earlier today, items of women's clothing were found in the town. A 71-year-old woman and her grandson, arrested in connection with the teenager's disappearance more than a week ago, have been released under investigation. The government says it wants to build more homes more quickly to fix what it's called the broken housing market. New measures are expected to be announced in next week's budget. The Community Secretary, Sajid Javid, says he'll intervene directly in the case of 15 councils in England which haven't drawn up plans for more homes. Rail workers on Virgin Trains' West Coast route have voted to go on strike in a dispute about pay. The RMT union says the action will involve nearly 2,000 people, including train managers and onboard catering staff. And the weather. Cloud and patchy light rain will move away from the south coast, leaving a cold night with clear skies and a widespread frost. Blustery showers will continue across northern and western Scotland. And that's the BBC News at 2 minutes past five.
Alan Smith, thank you. Well, sellout concerts, platinum recordings, the star Caminho brings us the very soul of Portugal in this studio shortly. And we have a new star in the shining world of brass first, stealing a cheeky little song from Delib, Lucien Renaudin Varie with the Saucy Girls of Cadix.